Okay, we'll get my gavel out, make it official. And good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call this session of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is July 13th, 2023 at 9 a.m. We have two items on the agenda this morning. The first that we'll be hearing is the Abbott Shoreline variance. And then after that, we have a conditional use permit request related to an accessory dwelling unit. So we'll deal with that one second. So first on the Abbott matter, this is number 2201456, and it involves a request for a shoreline variance and shoreline exemption to allow for the construction of a single family residence with attached garage that would have a footprint of approximately 1,891 square feet with associated improvements. And essentially, the request is to reduce the required shoreline buffer associated with a couple wetlands down to approximately 23 to 41 feet in various places, as well as reduce the 15-foot structural setback to allow for development of a proposed single family residence. So we'll do that one first. My name is Andrew Reeves. I'm a hearing examiner, and the county has selected me to hold certain land use application hearings like this one. And today it will be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine whether this proposal is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and then the specific criteria for approval of a shoreline variance and exemption under the municipal code. And then because we are dealing with the shoreline, also in this case, ensure that the proposal is consistent with our state Shoreline Management Act, or the SMA, as well as the county's adopted Shoreline Master Program, or SMP, that was adopted by the county under the SMA. So to that end, I received several exhibits in advance of the hearing that I had an opportunity to review. I think the number we arrived at was 34 is what I have, but these include a staff report prepared by county staff, the application materials themselves, including ultimately a project narrative and information on FEMA and the habitat assessments associated with the project, project narrative, information on the environmental review that occurred under our state's Environmental Policy Act, several technical reports and reports of a technical nature that we may end up touching upon today, information on how various aspects of the project will be treated, including stormwater and things of that nature. There were a few comments that were received. Those are included in the record, and these include some comments from the public, as well as comments from reviewing departments and agencies, information as well on the notice that was provided in relation to the application, as well as today's hearing. So I'll go ahead and admit those 34 exhibits into the record. Should anyone have additional exhibits they'd like admitted, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I'll go ahead and address admitting additional exhibits at that time. All testimony today will be under oath or affirmation. That's because we're my decision in this case to be appealed to the Shoreline Hearings Board. The recording of today's hearing, as well as the admitted exhibits, would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. I sometimes ask questions of those that are testifying. I'm not trying to trip anyone up. I'm just trying to ensure that I have a thorough understanding of the proposal so that within a couple of weeks of the record closing, I'm able to produce a decision that is hopefully clear and legally defensible. Finally, the order that we typically follow, and I believe we're going to follow today, is first we will swear in staff, county staff, who will give sort of an overview of the proposal and the review process that led us to today's hearing. After that, we'll turn to the applicant or applicant representative, and that will be their opportunity to present any additional information or clarification related to the project and answer any questions that might exist. And then we'll see if there are members of the public interested in testifying. And if so, they will have that opportunity. And then if necessary and appropriate, at the end, we'll turn back to the applicant and county staff. So with that, I think we can go ahead and get started. And I think it is Kathleen Barnhart presenting this one today. Okay, I'm getting the nod. Okay, excellent. Yep. There's our red light. All right, I'll get you sworn in. Thank you for being here. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Excellent. If you could just state and spell your name for me and explain your role here at the county and on this project.
Good. Okay. Good morning. Kathleen Barnhart, Senior Planner, Kitsap County Department of Community Development. That's KathleenBarnhart. So as you mentioned, we are here this morning for the hearing of the Abbott Shoreline Variance application 2201456. Before I begin my presentation, I would like to request a minor edit to the staff report. The hearing date read 7/12 of 2023. Obviously, it should read 7/13 of 2023.
Sure. And we're here on 7/13. So that makes perfect sense. And in all truth, I didn't notice that. So thank you for clarifying that. And before you dive in, was I correct in my assessment of essentially the exhibits you were hoping I would review in advance of the hearing? I don't know if you heard that. I was just checking to see if my sort of rundown of the exhibits tracked. The number I had was 32. Does that sound accurate?
That sounds accurate, yes.
Okay.
It's actually 34.
It was 34? 34. 30, am I looking at? Oh, I'm looking, sorry. Oh, okay, 34, including this presentation is 33, and then our sign-in sheet today. There, that's where the number. Okay, so 34 will be the number. With that, I will let you, Kathleen Barnhart, go ahead with your PowerPoint.
Just one moment, please. All right. So the project is located in West Central Kitsap in the Hood Canal watershed at the northwest end of Lake Symington at 13531 Northwest Coho Run. The parcel zoning is rural residential and is located in the Shoreline Master Program jurisdiction with a Rural Conservancy Shoreline Environment designation. If we zoom further into the parcel level and setting the stage for the project request, we see that the parcel is a legally existing vacant lot of 0.31 acres that was platted in 1970. This property is partially forested and surrounded by similarly sized properties, which are developed with single family homes. The topography on site slopes down moderately from west to east from Northwest Coho Run toward the edge of Lake Symington. There is a Category 3 Lake Fringe Wetland, or Wetland A, that was identified in the depression in the eastern portion of the property. Most of this wetland is on site, but does extend across the portions of the properties to the north and south as well. Properties to the north and south are mostly in a natural state with no shoreline armoring, but a home is constructed on the lot to the south. The topography then descends into a depression that is adjacent to the lake edge, identified as a Category 4 depressional wetland, or Wetland B. On the south side of this wetland is a berm-like feature that runs parallel to the edge of the lake. That berm is suspected to have been built years ago to keep the area from flooding, and water does frequently flood into the area waterward of that berm. The property has been partially cleared for a driveway. Power and placement of an RV currently used as temporary housing. A building permit application was applied for, but has been returned pending the approval of this shoreline variance. This slide shows a little more detail on the shoreline and critical areas locations. The parcel, again, is within the Rural Conservancy shoreline designation, shown in green up on the map, and entirely within the 130-foot standard shoreline buffer for the designation. The FEMA 100-year floodplain, shown in the blue crosshatch on the screen, also extends onto the property. And as just mentioned, two wetlands were identified on the site as well. The project request is for a Type 3 shoreline variance and a shoreline exemption to construct a new single-family home and associated utilities. Due to the property size, it is infeasible to build outside of the designated 130-foot shoreline buffer and Category 3 and 4 wetland buffers. A shoreline variance is needed to reduce the buffer to the approximately 23 to 41 feet from the shoreline and wetland with the setback, while keeping the septic drain field as far from the shoreline as possible. The proposal will meet all zoning setbacks and parking requirements. An on-site septic system is placed on the west property edge as far as topography allows, And more importantly, as far from the shoreline as possible. The home will be located as far landward as Kitsap public health setbacks allow from the drain field. And the home is designated to minimize and mitigate impacts to the shoreline wetland buffers while still allowing for the use. It is worth noting that a zoning variance is typically preferred before construction of a shoreline variance, or before consideration rather of a shoreline variance. However, in this case, the septic drain field is closest to the front property line as possible, and the home is as close to the drain field as feasible, so that zoning setback reduction would not be possible given the site constraints and for keeping the drain field as far from the lake as possible. I'm now going to run through the shoreline variance criteria as found in Kitsap County Code 22500-100E. These are the criteria by which the proposal must demonstrate compliance in order to approve this variance request. First, the strict application of the buffer standard would preclude or significantly interfere with reasonable use of the property. As mentioned, it is infeasible to build within a 26-foot area provided by an administrative buffer reduction or 100 feet. Considering the setback, road, side yard setbacks. So to place a small home, an attached garage, and a septic system drain field on the property, the buffer does need to be reduced as proposed. Secondly, that the hardship is specifically related to the property and the result of unique conditions such as irregular shape, size, or natural features, and the application of this program, and not because of deed restrictions or actions of the applicant. So as mentioned, this lot size and shape are the result of a legal plat from 1970, which is prior to the Shoreline Master Program and Shoreline Management Act adoption. The shoreline and associated natural wetland buffer, as well as the FEMA floodplain, create a hardship of unique conditions for this parcel that restrict the ability to develop under the standard requirements of Titles 19 and 22. The hardship is not from deed restrictions or actions of the applicant or previous owner. Next, that the design of the project is compatible with other authorized uses in the area and with uses planned in the area under the comprehensive plan and this program, and will not cause a net loss of shoreline ecological functions and does not conflict with existing water-dependent uses. So the design of the project is compatible with other single-family residential uses within the Lake Symington development. The lot and neighborhood are zoned rural residential and consist of mostly legally existing non-conforming lots of the same approximately third of an acre size. The use will not conflict with any existing water dependent uses, and the mitigation proposed will ensure that the proposal meets the no net loss requirement. Further, most lots around Lake Symington are already developed with single family residences. Requests for similar variances in the area would be limited to the few vacant lots remaining around the lake, which cumulatively would not increase substantial adverse impacts to the shoreline environment. Continuing on with this criteria, the next one is that the variance will not constitute a grant or grant of special privilege not enjoyed by other properties in the area. Again, the shoreline of Lake Symington is heavily developed with single family properties. Many properties on this lake have development, including low retaining walls at ordinary high watermark and homes built as close as approximately 20 feet from ordinary high water of the lake. The proposal will not be granting a special privilege not enjoined by other properties in the area. The next criteria is that the variance requested is the minimum necessary to afford relief. Impacts to the shoreline have been minimized by proposing the septic system drain field as close to the road as possible, and by proposing a modestly sized house and garage. The scope of the proposal has been reduced from the initial application to reduce the footprint, including the waterboard decking being removed from the proposal. Vegetation will be retained within the buffer, and any vegetation disturbed outside of the construction area will be restored. The location of the house and driveway are restricted due to the location of the septic drain field, the building setbacks, and property depth. And the project will also minimize impacts by utilizing best management practices, including features such as silt fences to prevent sediments from washing into the shoreline during construction. And finally, that the public interest will suffer no substantial detrimental effect. The proposal will not cause a detrimental effect on public interest. The proposal is similar to use and size of other development in the neighborhood. A mitigation plan is proposed to enhance the shoreline and wetland buffer to result in no net loss of shoreline and wetland ecological functions by adding vegetation and habitat features in a highly developed area of the county. And just quickly regarding mitigation, there's a little over 3,000 square feet of buffer impacts that are proposed. So to compensate, over 100 native plants will be added to enhance the remaining buffer area, along with installation of northern flicker nesting boxes, bat boxes, and downed logs to provide habitat in the buffer. The home is also conditioned to be constructed to residential flood hazard design standards, which include a minimum floor elevation of 1 foot above the base flood elevation at this location. And in just throwing up a slide here real quick to show that the in addition to the shoreline variance criteria, the proposal has been reviewed to ensure compliance with the residential and view blockage standards of the Shoreline Master Program, the flood hazard and residential development standards of Title 15, zoning of Title 17, stormwater and Title 12, critical areas and Title 19, as well as the comprehensive plan goals and policies. This project was properly noticed as required. There was a joint notice of application and SEPA notice that were published on May 13th of 2022. Comments were received from neighbors, Washington Department of Ecology, and the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. These comments can generally be grouped into three areas of concern. The first being that work had been done or continues to be done on the parcel without proper permits and approvals. To address this concern, staff requested revisions to the shoreline mitigation plan to address the prior unpermitted clearing and grading activities. Staff indicated additional permits would be required for any temporary or permanent overwater structures and storage buildings. The applicant has indicated that the overwater structures are removed and the shed will be removed. There are conditions on this variance approval called out the need for additional permits for accessory structures or buffer impacts. A second concern was for the health impacts to the lake. So Kitsap County DCD staff did reach out to Kitsap Public Health regarding the temporary RV to investigate that sanitation was being appropriately addressed in the interim. They verified that wastewater is being properly disposed of on a regular basis at an approved facility. An approved septic design is still required for building permit approval, and septic designs are required to meet the minimum water setbacks, with deviations technically requiring additional monitoring and maintenance. So the approval of the on-site septic system is under the authority of the Kitsap Public Health, with compliance with the local and state health regulations, as well as demonstration of no net loss and mitigation. The project is compliant with the requirements of Kitsap County Shoreline Master Program. And lastly, one of the concerns being that the proposal was not meeting the minimum necessary requirement and the no net loss criteria for approval. A site visit was conducted with county staff, Fish and Wildlife, and the Department of Ecology on June 14th of 22. The applicant was asked to address minimization and provided a revised plan with a reduced footprint, removed the deck and placement as far landward as septic setbacks would allow. Septic location, again, is as far from the lake and wetlands as possible, and alternative setback designs were analyzed, but would utilize no less area than the current design. Revisions were provided to the shoreline mitigation plan. In addition to the logs and the bat and bird boxes previously proposed, the revised plan includes 6 conifer trees and 95 other shrubs and ferns within the buffer. So given these concerns and other project and site-specific needs, staff recommended conditions include, but are not limited to, again, following that shoreline mitigation and monitoring plan, maintaining that 27 to 40 foot buffer to be flagged by the biologist prior to start of construction, with no additional work in this area without DCD review and approval by necessary agencies, and that the RV will need to be removed from the site or out of the mitigated buffer area and no longer occupied within 30 days of final inspection and occupancy of the home. Just as a reminder, the hearing examiner has review authority for the shoreline variance application under Kitsap County Code, sections 22500-100E and 21-04-100. The hearing examiner may approve with conditions or deny a shoreline variance permit. And once the hearing examiner decision is made, the proposal is forwarded to the Washington Department of Ecology for final approval, approval with conditions, or denial, and no approval shall be considered final until it has been acted upon by Ecology. Overall, staff have found that the proposal is consistent with the Kitsap County Comprehensive Plan goals and policies, the shoreline variance criteria, as well as other Kitsap County code sections. And therefore, staff are recommending approval of the Abbott shoreline variance subject to the 17 conditions contained in the staff report. And that is all I have for my presentation. If there are any questions, and the applicant is here today as well.
Great, thank you. I do have a few questions just in terms of conceptually, and I may have misspoke at the beginning. In terms of clearly there's a lake here, and so the shoreline variance, if I'm understanding correctly, is a request for a reduction from the standard shoreline buffer for the Conservancy shoreline designation related to the lake, but then we have these sort of lake fringe wetlands that exist in connection with the lake. And so the mechanism or the way this works under Kitsap County's code and shoreline master program, rather than have a separate critical areas variance or a RUEX of some kind, it all kind of falls within the SMP. And so I'm addressing the buffer reduction sort of in total, and the buffer reduction allows for a reduction of the buffer from the shoreline of the lake, as well as any required buffers associated with those wetlands. Is that an accurate way of me thinking about this?
That is correct. The critical areas ordinance is adopted by reference into the Shoreline Master Program. And so the process follows the shoreline process for approval, but the wetland delineation, all those criteria still apply in this case.
Right.
But yes, the shoreline variance is the correct process for both.
Right. And it's applicable to reducing the buffer for both the shoreline itself and the wetlands, correct?
Correct.
It's sort of a, you know, we have all these critical areas and all these various buffers required, and we are looking for a building envelope, essentially. And so what ultimately, you know, has been calculated is this is what the minimum, you know, reduction possible looks like this. And this is where a home can be built based on all the other constraining impacts. And in this case, as you already pointed out, so I don't need to ask the question, but in this case, the septic is going as far from the lake as possible, which not a bad plan. But because of that, one can't site the home closer to the road. So there's no zoning variance request, as we sometimes see in other parts of the county where there may be municipal sewer. And so, but because that this is a more rural area, not possible. But I'm grasping it all. Is that just making sure we're on the same page and I didn't misunderstand anything there.
Yep,
is that a yes?
That is correct.
And then there is reference throughout in some of the materials and in the staff report to the shoreline exemption being sought. And the staff report, in fact, says that the county is essentially making an administrative approval determination about that. Can you just speak to that? Is that something I need to think about, something I'm not thinking about? What is the exemption specifically related to in this instance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the shoreline exemption, single family residences are exempt from a shoreline substantial development permit in Kitsap County Code and in the WAC. It is the action, if you will. It's the permit for the activity, whereas the variance is for the buffer minimization.
Now I get it. So the exemption is specifically related to the Shoreline Substantial Development Permit, or SSDP. But I, you know, for those that are following along, you know, the level of review or criteria that must be met in addressing and reviewing a variance are more thorough shoreline variance than exists for an SSDP. And so essentially, do I need to even make a finding in your mind, or just meaning, is it consolidated and I should say something? I should address those criteria in my decision, or just focus on the shoreline variance? I just want to make sure I don't misstep.
It should be consolidated, and a simple statement that it is inclusive of the shoreline exemption would be appropriate.
That's nice. I would love to think in my mind, I, the hearing examiner, will produce just a simple statement. It likely would be somewhat more thorough than that. Just that's unfortunately how I'm designed, robot that I am. But understanding that essentially the lower levels of review, that those processes can get consolidated up. Essentially, what I'm asking is ultimately the buck stops with me, the hearing examiner, to issue a decision on the exemption as opposed to it being a fully administrative process. Is that an accurate way of thinking about it? I just want to make sure I haven't misstated anything here.
If I understand correctly, yes, that is.
Okay.
You're correct.
Well, I hope so. Ultimately I will be sort of addressing, you know, the shoreline variance. There are subcomponents to the extent that we have multiple critical areas. So my decision will address, you know, the lake itself, and then we've got the wetlands, but then the exemption is specific to the SSDP, and it's not saying that the criteria for an SSDP have been met. It's simply just saying the way that single family residential development works, an exemption is allowed or allowable under the shoreline master program for the county, such that no additional permits needed. There's my finding. It'll be as simple as I can make it, but that would be the concept. That'd be its own conclusion. And, you know, that track, hopefully,
that is correct. Really
complicated. I apologize.
there's no additional shoreline permit that would be needing other than the building permit at once the variance is approved. The criteria for review of a shoreline exemption for an SFR would be the same. The variance criteria are just cumulatively added to that review. So this is inclusive of what we would normally review for a shoreline exemption as well.
I think we're seeing the same thing differently.
I hope so.
Subsumed within, I guess if worse comes to worse, administratively, the county can approve it if I have not, or vice versa. Were I to approve the shoreline variance, it would be my intent to have a conclusion that also just very briefly addresses that exemption related to the SSDP. Department of Ecology, after many, many, many decades, finally did provide some guidance and has sort of said, the process you're using today is the right one, meaning someone should talk about the SSDP and not just say nothing. Still have many jurisdictions where they have not fully grasped that. So good job, guys, on doing it the right way in terms of that part of the process. But it is my intent to sort of, you know, wrap that into my own analysis of things. So thank you for clarifying that. In terms of, well, the other one was am I addressing the FEMA 100-year floodplain at all or not? That was the other question I had. Sometimes there are permits related to that FEMA floodplain.
The building permit will cover that in addition. Okay. So there will be more thorough look at the construction component to that at the building permit level.
But not something I'm addressing, because that's a health and safety, life health and safety engineering issue. And you guys are going to do the full analysis as necessary when you get to the building permit stage. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is accurate. Just so you know, in the record, there is more additional information. There was an elevation survey completed to at least cursory look at that to make sure we were addressing that at this level and it wasn't going to result in substantial changes to the overall plan.
Got it. So essentially, there's been enough information provided to ensure that the design is feasible for this use, as it were, if we think about it as a use. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty details of engineering and, how big the crawl space has to be and ensuring there's enough, flood water capacity storage, et cetera, those details will be addressed more fully later. But county staff at least has looked at this to the extent that it's confident that the administrative process, the iterative review that occurs with the actual building permits that I'm not involved in, we'll be able to address any issues related to that FEMA 100-year floodplain. Accurate? Yes,
that's accurate.
Excellent. I thought so. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Walking through, let me just make sure. So there were no appeals of the SEPA determination, is my understanding. I think you said that, but I just want to, always good to ask. And then just in terms of the timing, I think you clarified it, but the concerns that were raised, well, there were some from the public, some from reviewing departments and agencies, but as you noted and as pointed out in the staff report, WDFW and Ecology did a site visit, and essentially there's been revisions that occurred since, and as far as we know, WDFW and Ecology are no longer, you know, have the same concerns that were originally raised. Obviously, Ecology in this case will have final say, as they do with all shoreline permits and especially with variances. But am I understanding that right? Essentially, that no net loss, I'll call it the no net loss concern that was raised in particular. There's been a reduction, as you pointed out, in some of the potential impacts and overwater structures, et cetera, such that, as far as we know, those reviewing departments and agencies, their concerns have been alleviated. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yes, we did have, after the revised plans were proposed, we did meet with the Department of Ecology to take a look at those and make sure we're all on the same page and that it addressed their concerns.
Excellent. And then I do see that, you know, I saw that the JARPA or Joint Aquatic Resources permit application was provided as part of my record. To the best of your knowledge, are there other jurisdictional permits, i.e. permits that other agencies, not the hearing examiner, need to issue or be involved in related to this project or not? Do you happen to know that?
Not to my knowledge. I know with Kitsap County, they do, will know, of course, need the building permit. That should be the only other permit from DCD. And to my knowledge, there are no hydraulic project approval from Fish and Wildlife needed or any of that. So I should be covered.
I think with the changes that occurred through this iterative review process, because there's no in-water work in the lake, there's no overwater, you know, the idea that there might be a like you said, an HPA or some other permit that some other agency gets involved in, you know, one of those fancy ones with an acronym, unlike me, the hearing examiner, Ecology will have final say on this. They'll do a final thorough review as they do with all shoreline variances. But we don't expect that there are, you know, Army Corps or WDFW or some other agency that is involved and needs to deal with, you know, waters of the state permits and things like that. Is that an accurate assessment, Kathleen Barnhart?
Yeah, that is correct. There should be no other permits. Yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to, once I see a JARPA, I always like to ask that just to make sure I haven't misunderstood something. We already talked about environmental health. We'll conduct additional review related to the septic. So that answered my question there. Have there been any significant changes to the comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, or the actual shoreline master program in this case that I should be aware of that could impact this proposal since it was deemed complete?
No.
No vesting issues. No. That's what I'm really looking for. And then, let's see, just want to make sure. As far as we know, is the comprehensive plan designation concurrent with the zoning for this project as well? And I know for shoreline permits, we worry about it less, but I tend to have a finding about it. And I just want to make sure I didn't miss that. You happen to know what the comp plan designation, I can find it if not.
It's rural residential.
It is. Okay, good. Yeah. Just want to make sure. Okay, I thought they were concurrent, but okay. Okay, I think at this point then, those were the specific questions. Oh, and I was confused. I think you clarified it. In the recommended conditions, there was reference to a, you know, RV, temporary living quarters, but the point there is that is, whether it's enshrined in the municipal code or not, some codes do, some don't. I don't know off the top of my head whether Kitsap does one way or the other. I have not looked, I'll be honest. But often folks are allowed to sort of live in an RV or temporary living facility while they're building. You know, I always think of Grey's Anatomy. I'm such a dork. Years and years and years ago, that was how, you know, McDreamy was building on the island here in Washington, living in the RV. Wow, that was awful. But that's what that relates to, correct? The idea that if there is going to be an RV on site, you know, temporary living quarters, they need that permit for one, it needs to be permitted. And then for another, ensure that, you know, it gets removed once the home is built. This is in no way sort of granting authority to have a home and an ADU or and accessory RV, you know, RV, anything to that effect. Is that what that was about, just to make sure?
Yes, and that is correct. And the applicant has already applied for the temporary living quarters permit, which is a temporary RV permit, in addition to their building permit. So those are on hold pending the approval of this variance.
Excellent. Okay, I think then, to avoid dating myself and giving away any awful further pop cultural references, I think we can move to the applicant at this point, but I thank you for answering all my questions. So at this point, if we have a member of the applicant team or the applicant themselves, we'll have them come up.
Good morning, I'm Paul Abbott.
Hi, Mr. Abbott, one of our applicants. I will swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Thank you. And if you could just state and clearly spell your name for the audio recording.
Again, I'm Paul Abbott, spelled P-A-U-L-A-B-B-O-T-T.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Abbott. So thank you for being here. This is your opportunity to present any additional information you feel that I or members of the public should have in advance of my making a decision on the proposal, as well as to discuss any clarifying points, present any additional information, et cetera. So I'll let you go right ahead with that.
You know, I think Kathleen's presentation was quite thorough. I am ready to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, it was thorough, and you know, we had quite a few exhibits, you know, quite a lot of information provided. One of the questions I do like to ask for sort of non-commercial projects, as it were, do you have a timeline in mind? And part of the reason I ask is because certain permits have certain deadlines, and whether there's any potential impacts there. But in a perfect world, you know, if I were to approve your request and then you wait 21 days to do anything, because then Department of Ecology gets that time period to, you know, do what they need to do. So we'll call it 6 weeks if we ballparked it. You know, how long after that in your mind would it potentially be before you were able to start moving forward?
We're ready to move forward as soon as building permits are issued.
Okay, you're ready to go. I get that. Okay. So again, this wasn't and my understanding is some activity maybe has occurred on site, and you know, any issues related to that you've been working with the county on, and I don't need to get involved. But the idea is you're ready to go. I'm guessing this is a dream home situation, you know, excited to get building is the concept. Is that right?
Yeah, there were initial plans that maybe could have fit into the dream home category. We've had to make several changes, as Kathleen described. We removed the deck. We also had to change from a daylight basement plan to a crawl space plan because of the 100-year floor plan, 100-year floodplain compliance. We had to move. I don't know if we had to, but we did move the footprint closer to the road, further away from the lake, to comply with the view line of our neighbors. But we're going to be very grateful for the home and look forward to living there when it's completed, for sure.
Excellent. Excuse me, I apologize. And then did you have an opportunity to review the recommended conditions that were included in the staff report?
Yes. All 17 of them. Yes.
And did you have any clarification, anything you were hoping to get clarification about related to those recommended conditions?
I did have a question and sent an email to Kathleen regarding the RV and removal. Of course, we're going to be very pleased to remove the RV from that temporary location once we're able to move into the home. I had a question about the wording, and she clarified that for me a few days ago. So I don't have any further questions about those conditions.
Excellent. And then you understand as well that I already referenced it in our discussion, you and I just now, but ultimately this is a type of permit where our Department of Ecology, DOE, has sort of the final say. And so that's been clearly explained, and you understand that even were I to issue a decision approving this, you would be at financial risk if you move forward without the final Department of Ecology sign off one way or the other. Does that make sense? Meaning you get the final from ecology.
Right. Yes. I know Neil Molstad from the Department of Ecology has been to our site twice and has been cooperating with the plan that Kathleen displayed a little while ago. So I don't anticipate further holdups with that. So we're ready to wait again for that approval.
There you go. And I didn't mean holdups. I just meant there's a timing process where they'll have 21 days after my decision.
Right. So
my hope is there aren't any holdups on my end, no holdups on their end. You know, one way or the other, you'll know either, you know, sooner rather than later in the grand scheme of things. But just wanted to make sure everyone was on the same page.
Yeah. During the interim, we're busying ourselves with planning and securing plans for tree removal and site preparation, foundation, and construction of a home. So there's a lot to be done in the planning stages during that time.
Okay. Well, I don't have any other specific questions, I believe, in my notes for you, unless you had anything further you wanted to share or others on your team that you wanted to call, as it were. I'm happy to hear from others, or we can see if there are members of the public.
I did ask and make this presentation available to our septic designer. I'm not sure if he's on the call or not, but he did indicate that he might be available, but I don't see any other persons as I'm looking at the screen that may be available. And Kathleen addressed the septic and the idea of an alternative septic that might have saved space and allowed for further movement toward of the footprint. So that's already been addressed. So I don't know if he's on the call or not, but
I didn't
see my wife is declining any chance to speak. So those are all the members of our team that could be considered.
Okay. I didn't see the person associated with your septic on the okay. So I think I understand kind of where things stand with that. So I think I can let you go, and we'll see our members of the public. And if necessary, I might have you come up to address any questions that may come up from members of the public. But otherwise,
be happy thank to. You
for being available today.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. So we have, it looks like in terms of Zoom, we have one person potentially, Carissa Helm. And do we need to bring?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. Were you interested in testifying on this first project today?
I'm just here to listen. Thank you for checking though.
Okay. And on this also for the second one, so I don't have to come back to you, or you're just, I just want to make sure.
I'm good. Thank you.
You're good. Okay. Thank you very much. And I believe that was our only non-staff member on the video. There may be others in the room interested in testifying, but Amanda Walston, does that, am I accurate in my?
You're correct. And we don't have any members in the room wanting to testify, but I did want to note that we did have a technical issue with our link posted for the hearing this morning at the start of the hearing. It's been corrected. It was corrected mid-presentation. So the agenda link was correct, but the link posted on the website directed to a different basically put him into a waiting room for a different hearing. So, but it was corrected mid-presentation. And I did also reach out via email to the specific interested parties that were listed for this project, send them the correct link via email, and also noted that if they are unable to attend, they can also still submit written comment following. So.
And I'm going to swear you in and just to say, do you swear or affirm that everything you just talked about was the truth, and also any further testimony you give is the truth?
I do.
And if you could just state and spell your name and explain your role here at the county.
Yes, it's Amanda Walston. It's A-M-A-N-D-A. Walston is W-A-L-S-T-O-N. And I am the clerk to the hearing examiner.
Thank you. And just to clarify, so the as far as we know, all the notice materials had the correct link. It was just the notice on the city's website, which is something they do additionally to all of the required notice, had a weird incorrect link. And then you all may have noticed that and nobody showed up in that room as far as you're aware.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it seems to have been an issue that was resolved. And as you testified to, you had reached out to parties of record, et cetera. And so I am ultimately going to conclude that notice was reasonably calculated to apprise those potentially interested in participating in this matter of the hearing today. So thank you. With that, why don't we just bring Kathleen Barnhart back briefly just to make sure that there was nothing final that Kathleen Barnhart wanted to share.
I have nothing further to add at this time.
I made you get up just for that. Okay, well, I thank you. So the number of exhibits I think we ended up at was 34 or 36, 34. I know I 34. Said it wrong. Thank you. I said it wrong the first time. 34 was the number of exhibits that have been included in the record. Again, if there was, because of the tech issues in the past, we had often, as a matter of policy, left the record open for approximately 1 week. I would just say if we leave it open till tomorrow, to the extent that if someone reaches out today and says, hey, what happened with that? I really wanted to participate. Amanda Walston will tell them, hey, go ahead and submit written comments in lieu of public testimony. I treat them the same in terms of, you know, the weight they are given, and that will solve that problem. So the intent then is I will ultimately produce a decision within a couple weeks of tomorrow when the record closes related to this project. So thank you for your time. I think we can conclude our first matter and we'll move on to number two. So let me just take one sec. And I am going to mute and get off video while I blow my nose. I apologize. Okay, there we go. Okay, and now, what did I do there? Yes. It's like, did I just grab the thing I just set down? No, okay. I think we're ready to move on with our second item on our agenda today. And this is number 2203076. And this is the Vendito accessory dwelling unit request. And it's a request for a conditional use permit to allow for construction of an accessory dwelling unit or ADU on a property here, at 5517 Northwest Muddy Paws Court, which is a phenomenal name for a street address. I kind of smile when I see the name of the street address, but the intent there is to do that. So as noted previously, Andrew Reeves, the county's hearing examiner, and my role on this project will be to determine whether this proposal is consistent with the county's comprehensive plan, zoning ordinances, critical areas ordinances, and then the specific criteria for approval of a conditional use permit and the sort of additional or sub approval or however we want to think about it, the requirements specifically related to allowance or approval for development of an ADU under the municipal code. So that's what I will be looking at for this project. And the number of exhibits, I believe, was 28 that I received in advance of the hearing that I had an opportunity to review. And these include a staff report prepared by county staff, the application materials themselves, technical information about the existing property and structures on the property, as well as the construction that's being proposed, project narrative, which is always helpful, information on how things like stormwater and other utilities, well, not other, stormwater and utilities would be addressed on site related to the ADU, geotechnical information, information from reviewing departments and agencies, including the Kitsap County Health District, information on the SEPA determination, DNS that was ultimately issued for this proposal, and then information on notice that was provided in relation to the application and today's hearing. So I'll admit those 28 exhibits into the record. Should anyone have additional exhibits they would like admitted, let me know when it's your opportunity to testify, and I will address admitting additional exhibits at that time. All testimony will be under oath or affirmation. That's because were my decision to be appealed in this instance to the Superior Court under our state's Land Use Petition Act, or LUPA, the recording of today's hearing, as well as the admitted exhibits, would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. I think we can move forward at this point. We already went through one, so I think that is plenty, and we'll go ahead and just get staff sworn in and get started. So thank you for being here. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
Thank you. And if you could explain or clearly state and spell your name and explain your role here at the county.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you, Examiner Reeves. And for the record, my name is Jenny Kreifels, JennyKreifels. And I am a planner with Kitsap County Department of Community Development. And today I will be presenting a request for approval, as you said, to a conditional use permit to construct an accessory dwelling unit with site improvements to include utilities, driveway, and parking area. And I'll make sure we can see slide 2. There we go. All right. So the applicant proposes to construct the accessory dwelling unit on a parcel with an existing 3,349 square foot single family residence, which the applicant will continue to occupy. Site development includes utilities as well as parking and driveway, as I mentioned, and the application was deemed complete on August 2nd, 2022. A notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21, Land Use and Development Procedures, which provided recipients with project information and an opportunity for public comment. No public comments were received by the department. Pursuant to the Washington Administrative Code 197-11355, the Department of Community Development used an optional DNS process for this project. The SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrent with the notice of application dated August 15th of 2022. The Department of Community Development issued a determination of non-significance on June 16th, 2023. The SEPA appeal period expired June 30th, 2023, and no appeals were filed. Therefore, the SEPA determination is final. Slide 3 shows Kitsap County Assessor Map subject parcel as 312-501-4081-2003. It is 1 acre in size, and addressed as 5517 Northwest Muddy Paws Court in Bremerton, North Kitsap, Commissioner District 3. And this photo shows development consistent with the rural residential zoning. There are single family homes and accessory structures, and the proposed accessory dwelling unit is consistent with properties in this vicinity. Let's see. Okay, here we have slide 4 showing the site within this rural residential zone, marked with an X in the middle. Hopefully you can see that. It's in red. Adjacent property surrounding the subject site is also rural residential. And to the east is a county-maintained local access road known as Muddy Paws Court, as we mentioned. Zoning setbacks for the parcel are established through Kitsap County Code Chapter 17420, and they are 50 feet at the front, which is to the east for this subject site, and then 20-foot side and rear setbacks. And this is being met with the proposal. Here we have the subject site highlighted in green in the center of the map, approximately 225 feet from a non-fish-bearing stream to the northeast. And the critical areas map here also shows approximately 295 feet from moderate landslide areas and 310 feet from any moderate erosion areas. So critical areas are not an issue in this case. This slide shows a site plan for the proposal for an existing driveway to be shared by both of the dwellings. Building permit number 2206105 for the accessory dwelling unit has been submitted. It is currently under review and awaiting approval of or for the land use application. The existing residence was approved in 2020. The site plan also shows parking spaces can meet standards for both the SFR and the ADU. And here we have the floor plan for the existing single family home, which shows square footage of the principal dwelling in order to determine the maximum size allowed for the accessory dwelling unit. We require this floor plan be submitted. Applicants' plans show the home is 3,349 square feet with a 91 square foot porch and a 313 square foot covered patio. And here's the upper floor plan. This is also for the single family residence. The floor plan also, I don't know what my notes say here, but it is existing on the property. And there are no other, that's what I meant to say in my notes. These floor plans are also meant to assure us that there are no other accessory dwelling units or guest houses on the property. And here we have a photo and a sketch from the assessor's data webpage. And this is of the existing single family. Here are the photos also from that same. Actually, these are showing elevation for the existing single family residence. I believe these were actually provided by the applicants. And we have at the top would be the east front elevation. The lower photo is the south or southern elevation. And here are conceptual renderings demonstrating elevations and design style of the proposed ADU with a wraparound porch. And here are the elevation plans for the proposed ADU. The west elevation is at the left and the south elevation is to the right or lower rendering. And here are, I believe this is slide 13, more elevations. We have the south elevation at the left with the east elevation to the right or the lower photo. And here is the floor plan for the ADU, which demonstrates the size. It's showing 30 by 30 or 900 square feet. And we have 886 square feet, which is actually conditioned or heated. So I wanted to put both of those numbers up here just to be clear for the applicants and for the hearing examiner. It does meet the design standard maximum of 900 square feet. There is a proposed 411 square foot storage loft above, which shows on the right-hand side of this slide. And there's a proposed 1,127 square foot wraparound porch. So the proposal is conditioned to follow the requirements of Kitsap County Code Title 17-415-015B as amended in June of 2022. The project will be conditioned for any applicable stormwater controls pursuant to Kitsap County Code Title 12. There are no other accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters on the property. The owner will reside, as mentioned, in the single family residence. 50% of the primary residence is 1,675 square feet. Therefore, the maximum allowed area is 900 square feet. The proposed ADU is 886 square feet of heated or 900 square feet as the plans show. The ADU is approximately 50 feet from the existing primary residence, which is one of the requirements. The ADU will have similar appearance of the primary residence as shown in the renderings. The ADU meets all of the required setbacks for the residential or rural residential zoning. All health standards for water and sewer have been met and approved. The proposed ADU will not be a recreational vehicle, and the ADU will use the existing driveway via Muddy Paws Court. Staff does find the proposal meets the special use criteria in Kitsap County Code, as mentioned earlier, and recommends approval as conditioned. This concludes staff's presentation, and I am available for questions. And thank you, Examiner Reeves.
Great. Thank you, Jenny Kravels. In fact, I'm looking through my notes. I don't believe I actually had any specific questions. Now that we've gone through the presentation, I think we've worked out the which version of the code, and this one is being reviewed under the adopted, so that's great. In terms of the one, because it comes up all the time, but the idea that there's the maximum limit is either 50% of the home size or 900 square feet, but to be clear, that is habitable area, meaning it doesn't count porches, it doesn't count the garage, the storage, non-air conditioned. Just to be clear.
You are correct. And another word might be conditioned. So it's all about that heated and how we label the use of the spaces.
So in terms of when we talk about the size of the ADU at whether it was 868 or 900 or whatever, the idea being that the conditioned portion, livable, habitable area is 900 or less, but then there are some amenities, as it were, that like the porch, wraparound porch with the rendering of someone in overalls. That was hilarious, but that would not count toward the square footage. Is that an accurate way of thinking about it?
You are correct. Exactly.
Okay. Just want to make sure I hadn't misunderstood. I think then, and then my assessment of the number of exhibits tracked as well with what you were hoping I would review. I think 28 was the number.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then I don't have any further questions. I don't know if the applicant is there today or not. Are they?
They are.
Excellent. Okay. Why don't we have the applicant come up unless you had other members of staff?
No, we do not. And we have the applicant's representative here today, Mr. Russell.
Excellent.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. I'll swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in any testimony you give here today?
I do.
And if you could just state and spell your name for me.
It's Kurt Russell, KurtRussell.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. And your particular association with this project?
I was the one who submitted the entire package for the Vendetto family.
Okay. Well, this then would be your opportunity to present any additional information, clarifying points, et cetera, before moving on.
Yeah, I don't have anything additional at this time myself. So,
okay. Did you have an opportunity to review the recommended conditions of approval yourself and with the applicant, and no concerns over those?
No concerns.
Man, I feel like I wish I had more I could ask question-wise, but I'll be honest, This is, you know, there are no critical areas as noted. I've got lots of information. You know, clearly there's been thought put into the design here. So I can tell you, I ultimately see no issue with ultimately, issuing a decision approving this request for a CUP for this ADU with the recommended conditions. So it is my intent to do so. So
thank you. Mr. Vendetto does have a document that he would like to submit in.
Okay. I didn't mean to, I wasn't closing the
record. No problem.
Thank you. So I am fine then, Mr. Russell. Thank you though for being available. Why don't we bring Mr. Vendetto up and we'll hear about what he's got and see if he has anything else he wanted to add.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Hi.
Morning, I'll swear you in. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in any testimony you give here today?
I do.
And if you could just spell your name for me.
Yes, it's TayLorVenDitto.
Great, thank you. And you are the property owner, correct?
I am, yes.
Okay, and apparently you have an additional exhibit you were hoping to have included in the record?
Yes, I could not remember if it was part of the submission package or not. I just want to ensure that it was included. It is a document from the Homeowners Association. We provide them all the information regarding this plan to get their approval as well. And this document does indeed show that they have approved our plan to build this ADU.
Okay. So if you have an extra copy and if you're able to provide that or a PDF version to Amanda Walston, the clerk to the hearing examiner, we can make that document Exhibit 29. I don't recall seeing it in the record, so we are happy to include that. Any other thoughts, ideas, comments you wanted to testify about at this point?
I just wanted to add, currently there are three lived-in houses nearby our neighbors. I have gone and spoken to each of them individually. All three have provided concurrence, at least verbally, to us, you know, building this proposed ADU.
Okay, great. Well, I hopefully heard when I was speaking with your representative, Mr. Russell, that based on everything I've seen, my intent is to issue approval with the recommended conditions. So hopefully here in the next couple of weeks, yeah, you'll get a decision to that effect and you can move forward to augmenting the structures on Muddy Paws Court. Again, my new favorite name of a street address to live on. So we'll check with our county staff member just to ensure there's nothing further, but in terms of, well, A, I don't want to, Mr. Vendetto, do you have others on your team you were hoping to have testify? They can only make things, you know, they can only mess up at this point, I'll be honest, but I'm happy to hear from anyone else in the room that you have brought with you, if there are others that wish to testify.
I know that is it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Amanda Walston, I don't see anyone else in terms of attendees on the virtual. And as far as we know, no one else in the room interested in testifying this matter. Is that right?
You are correct.
Okay, so we'll make that exhibit you were just handed, 29. That's the HOA approval. And then if Jenny Kreifels can just come back, I just want to make sure she already knew. Hi.
Hi.
Is there anything further? I got it. But based on what we heard that county staff wanted to add in relation to this project before we close the record.
No, just good work on the Venditto's part by, you know, giving us something more positive at the end. So thank you.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, well, nothing further.
Excellent. I think with that, we can go ahead and end our hearing today. So I thank everyone for being here and participating and taking the time to answer my questions and testify, et cetera. So with that, we will go ahead and end our meeting. And I will probably plan on talking to my clerk there later, but a bunch of things coming your way today and tomorrow. So I know Jenny Kreifels is waiting on a decision. I know a bunch of people are waiting. They're all on the way. I've got drafts. So
great. Thank you.
But I'll talk to Amanda Walston later. All right. I think we're good. Thank you, everybody. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone.